Today, my dear children, those of you who are receiving Holy Communion, you know that it is the feast of the finding of the Holy Cross. And this feast commemorates the day when St. Helena, who was the mother of the Emperor Constantine many years ago, in the 300s, went to Jerusalem and dug on the place where our Lord was crucified and found the three crosses, the cross of our Lord and the cross of the two thieves. And this was a glorious day and a day of great rejoicing, for they found the most important thing that this earth contains, and that is the cross of our blessed Lord. Saint Louis de Montfort said that if the saints could regret one thing, if they could feel bad about one thing, if they could feel bad about leaving earth for a single reason, it would be that the earth still contains the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the finding of the Holy Cross is a very joyful thing. Now, to receive Holy Communion is to find the Holy Cross. Why? Because to receive Holy Communion is to drink our Lord's chalice. You know from your catechism that the Blessed Sacrament is one sacrament, and that even though you receive only the host, you are, even so, receiving not only the body of Christ, but also the blood of Christ. Now, it used to be many, many years ago that people would also receive from the chalice and drink of the blood of Christ in the chalice. But because the blood of Christ was spilled from time to time when people did that, the Church decided that it was better only to receive the host. And that's why the lay people only receive the host. But the priest, as you notice, receives the host and the chalice. So when you receive the host, you are receiving also the blood of Christ, and you are drinking of his chalice. Now, why do we say the chalice is the cross? Because our blessed Lord referred to his passion and death as his chalice. His Holy Cross was his chalice, for he called his passion his chalice in the agony in the garden. He said to his Father, "Let this chalice pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done." And he called his passion and death his chalice when he told James and John that they must drink of his chalice when they asked him for a high place in his kingdom. And that meant that they must accept his passion and death. And in St. John's Gospel, he tells Peter to put away his sword when he is trying to defend our Lord from those who would take him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said to him, "The chalice which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" And this is the same chalice that our Lord gave us at the Last Supper. For he said, "This is the chalice of my blood, of the new and eternal covenant, the mystery of faith, which shall be shed for you and for many unto the forgiveness of sins." So we know from the teaching of the Church that Holy Communion is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord under each species, whether it should be the sacred host or whether it should be the precious blood in the chalice. Now, to find the Holy Cross is to find eternal salvation. That's what our Lord says in the Gospel today. He says, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. When in the desert, when Moses was leading the people in the desert, snakes came and bit them. They asked for a cure, and Moses raised up before them the sign of the brazen serpent. That is, a serpent made out of brass. And our Lord recalls that and says that is a symbol of himself being raised up on the cross. Now, why did Moses do that in the Old Testament? So that when the people looked upon the brazen serpent, they were cured. And so he says, the Son of Man, meaning himself, must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. And that is why you see the crucifix everywhere in the church, because that is our blessed Lord lifted up so that we may look at him and find in him eternal salvation. Now, why did our blessed Lord, who had no sin, who was God himself, why did he have to die on the cross? Because of our sins. That's why he had to die on the cross. That is why he had to be lifted up. And so also, because of our sins, we too must die on the cross. Our Lord said, we cannot be his disciples unless we pick up our cross every day and follow him. Now, does our blessed Lord require us to be nailed to a cross? Not always. Most of the time, no. But there were some people in the history of the church who suffered like our blessed Lord, and they are the holy martyrs. And there were even some children who were crucified. In Japan, in the 1600s, those who hated our holy faith took young children like yourselves and nailed them to crosses and put them up for everyone to look at. But because those were holy children, they realized that it was a great privilege to have the same death as our blessed Savior and to have people look upon them in the same way that they would look upon our blessed Savior crucified. And we know from the writings and sayings of many saints that they longed for martyrdom in order to be perfectly like our blessed Lord crucified, in order to be like him 100%, not just in a little way, but perfectly. And they considered it a great answer to their prayers to be given the great privilege and crown of martyrdom. And we know that Saint Peter was crucified, but he was so humble that he said to his executioners that he did not deserve to die in the same way as our Lord Jesus Christ, and asked them to crucify him upside down so that no one would look upon Saint Peter in the same way and with the same respect that they would look upon our blessed Lord. That was the humility of Saint Peter. And so we see that our Lord's call to be crucified with him is not a bad thing, but actually a very good thing. But for most of us, he does not require that we do what he did. But rather, we are crucified with our blessed Lord when we avoid sin, when we obey the commandments of God, when we stay away from evil. That is the least of the ways in which we are crucified with our blessed Lord, so that we do not become a man of sin. We must take the man of sin and put him to death in us. And that's the cross in our lives. But we are not crucified with our Lord when we love sin, when we love to do what is bad, when we go near the occasions of sin, then we are not crucified with him. Then we are not with our Lord. And we cannot go to heaven if we love sin. So if we find the cross and put to death sin in us, then we go to heaven. But if we turn away from the cross and love sin, then we go to hell. So when you come up to the communion rail today for the first time, my little children, you are telling our blessed Lord in your heart that you are embracing his holy cross, that you are kissing his feet on the cross, that you will avoid all sin, that you will be faithful to the grace of your baptisms, that you will avoid all occasions of sin. All bad friends, all bad shows, bad movies, that you will stay away from all of those things, and that you will always be respectful and obedient to your parents and to your teachers and everyone else who is set above you by God. This is what you are coming to tell our blessed Lord. And as a reward for that, he is giving you not something that merely belongs to him, but he is giving you himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity. The Holy Eucharist is the fruit of the tree of the cross. You know from your catechisms that original sin was committed because Adam and Eve ate of the fruit that was forbidden to them by God. A sin of pride and disobedience. And so in order for us to repair that sin, and in order for us to avoid hell and to go to heaven, we must eat of the fruit of a different tree. And that is the tree of the cross. For our Lord was crucified on a tree. He was crucified on a wooden cross, which came from a tree. And so the Blessed Sacrament is the fruit that comes from the tree of the cross. And you also know from your catechisms that it was Eve that gave to Adam the forbidden fruit and led him into the sin. And so, who gives us the fruit of the cross? It is our Blessed Lady. For it was through our Blessed Lady that the second person of the Blessed Trinity became man. And we would not have the Holy Eucharist by the plan of God unless our Blessed Lady had said yes to the angel Gabriel. And so our Blessed Lady holds out to us the fruit of the cross. And that is why we call her Our Lady of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Now you noticed at the beginning of the ceremony today, my dear children, that we crowned our Blessed Lady. Because this is the month of May, this is her special month. And we put a crown on her head. And we honor her as our queen because she is the mother of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God, and she is his mother. And therefore, she is the mother of God. And we place a golden crown with flowers upon her head, to show the crown of glory that has been placed upon her head by our blessed Lord in heaven. What we put on her head here is nothing, but she has the crown of glory from her Son, who is the source of all grace, the source of all honor, the source of all glory. And he has placed upon her head the crown of being the most beloved creature of God, more than the angels, more than all of the saints put together, the most beloved creature of God. And not only that, but also to be the mediator, that is the in-between God and men in distributing graces. Now, our Blessed Lady is pleased by our devotion, to be sure. But the best crown that we could offer her is the crown of good works. Your mothers are here today, no doubt. And you today are making them very proud of you. Why? Because you are doing a good work. Your mothers are proud of you when you are good, when you behave yourselves, when you do what you are supposed to do. But when you do not behave yourselves, and when you're bad, your mothers are not proud of you. So when you are good in their presence, and even without them, even better when you're good not in their presence, they are proud of you, and you make a crown for their heads because you are good. So also, when we are good, our Heavenly Mother regards that as a crown for her head. She is proud of you. She sees that you are faithful to the grace that you have received, and this makes her happy more than all of the crowns of flowers or of gold that we could prepare for her. So on this day of the finding of the Holy Cross, tell our Blessed Lord in Holy Communion that you have found His cross, and that you will never let go of it. And tell our Blessed Lady on this day of her coronation that you will prepare a crown for her every day, a crown of obedience to the commandments of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.